Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gensius from Kent State University, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, contributing editor Dr. Kimberly Desmond speaks with Dr. Claire Dandenu and Dr. Lorraine Guth, all three of Indiana University of Pennsylvania. They talk about new digital recording technology, which permits them to provide counselor trainees with innovative supervision opportunities.
Okay, my name is Kim Desmond, and I'm sitting here with Lorraine Guth and Claire Dandenu. We're all from Indiana University of Pennsylvania. And I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Appreciate it very much.
Great. Today we're going to be talking about nonlinear supervision using innovative technology. And one of the things I was hoping that you could do for the listeners is describe how you began to recognize that there was a need to redesign the counseling center at Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Sure, be happy to. Several years ago, I remember trying to put together a purchase order for our dean to get new VCRs, and he said, Claire, you know, it's not realistic anymore to use analog equipment to do supervision. He said, you really need to start thinking about moving into the digital age. And at that point, I said to him, well, that's really great, but I know absolutely nothing about that. And he set up an ad hoc committee to help us look at moving from analog clinical supervision to digital supervision. And that ad hoc committee started us on the journey of looking for what technology might be out there that's available that would give us a little bit more sophistication than the traditional analog VCRs, because quite frankly, they were going away, and there wasn't going to be an opportunity to be able to provide recordings through digital camcorders or through camcorders.
Mm-hmm. And there was quite a lot of limitations with the traditional VCR and even some of the DVD recorders. So we were really wanting to look and think outside of the box and begin to find technology that would bring us into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we found a company in Greensburg, Pennsylvania that came up with a solution that was really fantastic. And that's what we want to talk to you about today, our journey with moving into this new technology.
The interesting thing about it was that when we found the technology, it was initially being used for football and the training of football coaches. And we hope as we explain how we've adapted this and how we've worked with the company to adapt this, that we'll sort of use the football analogy to kind of explain it. But basically, football coaches had the same problem that we did. They had a lot of videotapes, a lot of access to video information that they needed to use to increase performance. And the more we talked about it with the president of this company, the more we realized that we really were a lot like football coaches. We had a lot of videotapes that we're needing to look at to increase our students' performance. Mm-hmm. So the technology was really, once we started to adapt it, it was really applicable, and we now have a lot more access to the information that's helpful to have our students grow with the skills that we're hoping for them to gain.
And so, as Claire said, they had a product that was originally for football coaches, and it was called the Landro Play Analyzer. And we began to think about the parallel between football coaches and counselor educators. And at first, it was quite, we were like, wait a minute, what's the connection there? But we began to look at that a game is similar to a counseling session, a play is a counselor response. Offense and defense are client and counselor.
Yeah, and then a player obviously would be the supervisee, and the coach then would be the supervisor. So once we started to make this sort of equation, it became real obvious to us that we could access the information and utilize it much the way that football coaches would do.
So you really kind of had to take a leap from thinking about a counseling session and apply that into into football and using the football analogy.
Right. And what was very interesting then is we met with this company and began to talk about how there are clear distinctions that are different from football to counseling, of course. And then we worked with them to customize this product to the counseling profession. And so we'll talk to you about the journey that we've taken over the last 5 years in using this and now this new product in our teaching and supervision. And it's really transformed the way that we train counselors.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about the specifics of the technology? Specifically, how does it work? How can students utilize it? How can faculty utilize it?
What we want to do is try to paint you a picture of something that it's a lot easier once you would see it. So we're going to try to describe it to make it as clear to the listeners as possible.
Great.
So they can get a beginning understanding.
So let's see if we can start with sort of a visual picture of what we're looking at. Imagine that you are a student in our program, and really what you're going to do is very typical. You're going to record a counseling session. So there's a process whereby you route a camera to a digital recording device. And this digital recording device is about the size of a small VCR, small DVD player. And what it does is it has a hard drive that has special software that actually does a compression of that video image that's coming in and digitizes it. So you are sitting in front of a television monitor that's hooked up to this particular digital recording device. And then because they're connected, that the two can now communicate. And so you can actually see what's being recorded there on the television screen or the monitor. We can use those terms interchangeably. But what's interesting is what you see and then what you can do with the recording.
So, okay. Before we go on to there, is there any changes in the counseling room itself, or the counseling room just has the same camera and the same setup where students are seeing clients?
The camera requirements are no different than you would have for any traditional counseling center.
Okay.
And basically, in our particular system, it comes into a routing device where the signals, audio or visual, can be routed to any of the recording devices or any of the devices that we have. Most counseling centers have some sort of routing where you bring in an audio video device and move it to a recording device, mm-hmm. whether it be a VCR or a DVD. That's pretty standard. So it's very much similar to that. There's not a lot of extra technology. Matter of fact, you could literally just hook up the camera right to the existing Landro Play Analyzer boxes. Now, what we're talking a little bit about is the second generation of the product. The product is now moved on to a server base, and we can come back and talk about that. But yeah, actually, the cameras are very similar to what you'll find in most of the clinical training facilities around the country.
Okay, and here we have what I would call kind of like a control room, or a place where all the monitors and all the Landro systems are set up, so that and that's where actually the recording takes place, and students are able to go in and view the monitor and view what they had just done in session.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay.
Right. So then after the session is recorded onto this Landro Play Analyzer, the student can come in and retrieve it very easily. It's a very easy program to use. And what they would do is pull up their session, and what we call the next process is clipping and coding.
Okay.
And so what they would do is, based on what the learning objectives are of the class are and the learning goals of the student, they would pull their session up and begin to make clips of specific segments in their session that are of interest. So that's the clipping part. And then the coding, we have a database set up that is relevant to all of our clinical classes. And then what they can do is, for each clip that they make, they can hit an edit button. And they can then go and identify the specific things in that clip that are important for supervision. So, for instance, in a particular clip, if we had a student learning basic counseling skills, they could code that the focus was on the counselor, this was a reflection of feeling, it was moderately effective, and anything that's important to note or code on that clip, that's possible.
Yeah, so if you imagine it's sort of like a note card, and you're saying, I want to make some notes to reference this particular clip for future use. Mm-hmm. So it basically just provides a way to code that particular piece of video for retrieval, either in supervision or for the student to go back and go back and review those particular clips and codes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the best way to kind of explain this whole clipping and coding is to go back to the football analogy,
mm-hmm.
is that all football coaches have what's called a playbook, certain key plays or certain key things that they want a particular player or the team to learn. And the same thing with us. If we're teaching a basic counseling skills, we have a certain set of skills that we hope that students will achieve through the course of instruction for that particular semester. So we create a playbook that's designed specifically for that particular course. Now, the interesting thing about this equipment is it's totally customizable. So if you're teaching and you're, let's say, using an Egan model for teaching basic counseling skills, and you can develop your own playbook that has all the terminology related to Egan.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is developing the preferred scenario, then you can actually use that language in your database, so a student would then code a piece of a session that says, this is where I'm actually exploring the preferred scenario with the client. So you can literally adapt it to any type of learning objectives that you have that are based on the class that you're teaching.
Okay.
And right now in that playbook, we have one that applies to all clinical classes, but in the new system coming out, you can actually have a different playbook for each class.
Okay.
But one of the things that you asked that I'm not sure we've done a good job at explaining that we probably need to talk a little bit more about is the idea of, now what do students do?
Mm-hmm.
So they go in and they're able to clip and code their session, which allows a faculty member, now that it's coded, so they can kind of really just skip through and watch those particular coded mm-hmm. plays. So if you were to think about it, it's like going fast forward through counter places on a VCR.
Mm-hmm.
So you can run it traditionally in that way in a linear kind mm-hmm. of model. But the most interesting part about this, and this is where we get into what we are seeing as the exciting part of this, is that we have access to data in a non-linear way. And I think Lorraine's probably the best at being able to describe how we do the searching of the data now that it's coded so that we can do what we call non-linear supervision.
Right. And here's where, to me, it gets really exciting. And it brings supervision into a different process.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start by talking about, you can now search this information that a student has coded, and you could search over one session. So we put in some search terms similar to that you might in an Excel search to find something. And let's say we wanted to find in one student session all of the times he or she had highly effective reflection of feelings.
Okay,
so we can put that in, and at the touch of a button within seconds, we can pull up all of those clips and view them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting to have one student and one session. But now we can also have that same student, and let's say we want to look at growth over the course of the semester,
mm-hmm.
we can search through two or more sessions for the same information and pull that up.
Wow, okay.
And it even gets better than that if we're in a class.
Well, in a class, then what we can do is search for multiple students and say we want to highlight all of the good examples of paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say. Then I can literally say I want to take all the students in this class and I want to show excellent highlights for their paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
In an instant, in the classroom, be able to pull up that information. The best way that we can describe the classroom is the classroom has a computer set up into it that has access to all of the video recorded devices, and then it pulls it up on a big screen in the classroom. So basically, we can do very targeted group supervision on anything that we want to see. Now, normally, what we would have had to have done is say to the students, okay, bring in your best clips
sure.
to be able to
mm-hmm.
show that. But let's say as the class is transpiring and students say, well, you know, I'm still really having trouble with the whole idea of attending to affect, then you can't in that moment say, well, let's look at some good examples and let's look at some highlights. And within seconds, we can literally pull up that information in the classroom. So when we look at the training of micro skills, this is really critical because we're really trying to provide really good video evidence of the skills that they are learning. But it even takes us beyond that when we start looking at conceptualization. So if we're trying to teach a more advanced student how to conceptualize by watching what they're hearing from the client and being able to think in different ways in the session with the client, instead of us having them clip looking at themselves,
mm-hmm.
then we can have them, or the instructor can have them, clip and code based on what they're seeing from the client and
mm-hmm.
what are key issues in the story that is being presented by the client that supports the conceptualization that they're doing. So an advanced student, when they're going into the information to clip and code, they may be looking at a whole different series of,
sure.
of mm-hmm. information. And the football analogy goes again, where instead of looking at when we're on offense, we're looking at defense, and we're taking a different look at the same video, but with a whole different learning objective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's good for the beginning students. It's also good for the advanced students who are really needing some help with conceptualization.
Mm-hmm. And we've even used it in our individual counseling practicum classes as well as our group practicum.
Okay.
And so there's really some key things that can be clipped relative to the developmental level of the counselor and where they are in their conceptualization skills.
I think we've touched on this, but I can remember as a student watching the videotapes and having a list of counselor responses and then putting tally marks every time I gave a specific counselor response. I can remember how time consuming that was and kind of how monotonous it got after a while. So I'm wondering, you've touched on this, but could you talk about some of the benefits of the training facility for students and then maybe touch on some of the benefits for faculty?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that you just brought up from your tally marks is that process took a lot of time mm-hmm. and it was very labor intensive and often probably related to transcription and
absolutely
a lot of that time takes away from the student actually being with and looking at their counseling responses that are happening, you know, in the moment of the session.
Mm-hmm.
And so for students, I think it does take time to clip and code, but it's a more useful use of time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have the student who is the counselor doing the clipping of the sessions, but sometimes we also have, if they're working in teams, a team member could do some of the clipping.
Oh, okay.
And that helps the observer, his or her learning process, because they're actually seeing some different skills being utilized.
Sure, and gaining a different perspective, I would think. Sure.
Yeah, and I think our students would tell you that they're still spending the same amount of time in their videos as they might have been doing in the past
uh-huh.
with doing non-counseling kind of tasks, like typing up a transcript, which
sure.
For a lot of students is labor-intensive, but not has a high learning return, other than, gee, I had to type a lot, I must have talked too much. I mean, we would sometimes
okay.
find that kind of information out. But now what I find is students are going back into the information, their insight about themselves is a lot different, because they're actually looking at the data that they are, as opposed to just typing it out.
Okay.
So they can actually go back. But also the idea of coding. And this is where we depart from football a little bit, because the act of coding creates a learning experience. What was I doing? Was it effective? What other choices might I make? And to be able to have some sort of evaluative component of that. Because I can now access that in supervision with them, then they and I can talk about whether that evaluation was consistent with how I might have evaluated, and talk to them about why this was an ineffective paraphrase or whatever it is that we're learning. But in football, the coaches are the ones who are actually doing the clipping and the coding, and
mm-hmm.
the players don't necessarily learn from that. For our students, the act of clipping and coding is really where the bulk of the learning happens. What's important about this? Why am I clipping this? What do I want to showcase about this? Is this an example of this particular skill? So there's a lot more effort to really evaluate and assess what it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the nicest part about it is because it's accessible by the supervisor at the touch of a button, we can literally talk about a million different things. So when I'm preparing for supervision or students are preparing for supervision, we kind of do a clip review.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gets me in touch with the data that we're going to be talking about, and there are opportunities for us to go deeper into the data. Sometimes students will bring in particular clips that they want to look at. Sometimes we'll search the data for certain things. So it really has forced us to think in nonlinear ways about supervision.
Sure.
Because before, like most every other counselor educator in the country, we'd sit there, start the tape, watch it from start to finish, and then make some notes about some things that we wanted to talk about. But it was very difficult for us to go back and show that. And if we did, we made a note that we'd go back to a specific mm-hmm. counter place.
Mm-hmm.
So at counter 375, we're going to go back and talk about that. But then it's very difficult to then say, okay, now at counter space this. But you could only do that sort of retrieval of information in a very limited sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
So our students gain by it.
And I think what Claire is saying is it makes the supervision process a lot more targeted and purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And it benefits the students and I think also the supervisors because we're able now to see a lot more information in a meaningful way.
Okay.
And one thing that we didn't mention, we talked about the access in the classroom to the sessions. We also have the ability here to view the sessions right on our computer in our office.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it very nice for our meetings with students.
Sure. So during individual supervision, you can bring that up right in your office.
Yes.
Bring the session up or go across sessions and provide feedback in that way.
Right. So all the searching we were talking about, we can do right in our office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know that we have really emphasized the importance of the ability to search.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about the questions that you've always wanted to ask as a counselor educator to be able to look at the data, now those questions can be asked in a moment's time and the data can be presented there. Anything that you want to know and be able to see as a supervisor can be accessible to you in a second once it has been coded by a student.
Okay.
So it's just incredible the amount of access. And I don't know how to explain that to people without getting them to actually see it. Not only do you access it, but let's say that you wanted to make a comparison,
mm-hmm.
that the actual software will allow you to make a comparison, because you could actually pull up a grid. And if you can imagine a 2x2 grid, on one side it has, and I'll use a basic skill example, on the one side it has basic responses and all the different kinds that are in our database. And across the top it has effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So it will now give us a chart of how students are rating their basic responses with relationship to effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us an incredible amount of data, which our students would use to do in the tally system,
mm-hmm.
and they'd bring that in. Well, now, if you take that chart and imagine it graphically, and you see lots of little cells and squares, I can actually now toggle over to the particular cell in that particular square, and by the touch of a button, pull up those video clips that a student has tallied in that way.
Okay.
So now we have access to that information, and it's very specific, but it's now right there in the session. So we can talk about the paraphrases that they have listed as ineffective, or the 20 questions that they have in their session that they're listing as effective, but may not really be as effective
sure.
as they have
okay.
thought out.
Well, and as you're talking, it occurs to me that the flexibility of using this in the classroom for group supervision is really powerful, because if the supervision or the discussion is going a certain way, you can just automatically pull up information about that,
right.
even if you weren't planning on it. But if the conversation goes in that direction, you're able to pull different clips from different responses that the students have made to their clients.
Right. And let's say there was a question about particular intervention examples and somebody was conceptualizing from a different theoretical perspective, we could then pull up specific interventions that are cognitive, affective, behavioral as examples for other students to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, one of the things that we learned from football coaches when they go into the larger group to talk about the performance of the team, one of the things that they bring is what's called highlights from a particular game. And so we thought, oh, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So as we are watching as supervisors, we can literally put in a code that makes it a highlight. So I can very quickly, probably a half an hour before class, go in and create some highlights that I want to take into the class. Or while I'm actually preparing for my individual supervision, I can just put in some codes that make these highlights for class. So then I can literally, at the touch of a button, bring those into the room. One of the other things, as we have evolved in terms of the database, is we realized that there were needs sometimes for a supervisor to insert a code.
Mm-hmm.
And that code could be just very simple, very basic feedback. For example, it might say this was really congruent with your conceptualization, because you might be working with advanced students in one particular theoretical perspective, and they were able to do an intervention consistent with that. So you can say, or you can actually code this and say this was consistent with your theoretical orientation. Or you can put in, let's talk about this, or this is a highlight that I'd like to discuss in supervision, or this is maybe an inappropriate response that I really want to address in supervision. So we have actually evolved and put in some codes for us to add, which then allows us in supervision to retrieve those. I tend to teach sometimes our group practicum class, and I will actually put in codes that I want them to bring in, we'll discuss in supervision, mm-hmm. but I'll tell them, I want you to go look at my codes first okay. before you come in for supervision, so they'll see some of the things that I think are important, and they'll see how I have them coded.
Okay. Any other benefits that you want to mention before we move on?
I think once we get into this model, students, it becomes very easy to use. And that was one of my concerns in the beginning. Boy, how long will it take students? Mm-hmm. They can learn the system in about 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
And so it's very user-friendly. And we even had a student who started out in this model. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if we're trying to negotiate what students will be using this new system at the beginning of the semester, mm-hmm. just so wound up that the next class the student had, he had to videotape some sessions.
Okay.
And he was like, how do I clip and code a videotape? And we had to tell him that you can't. And he was quite surprised that he couldn't clip and code a videotape.
Okay.
But he was also very frustrated with the supervision process because supervision was really very, very limited at that
sure.
point.
Sure.
And it was more self-report. Mm-hmm. Here's what I recall happened in the session. Here's what... and so it really does move us away from that sort of self-report information and supervision. But yeah, he was very frustrated. Then he also had to do some transcription, which even made him more frustrated.
Well, I can imagine. And once you kind of get accustomed to this type of technology, I imagine it's hard to go back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Lorraine's point about how easy it is to use, and that part is just phenomenal. I mean, mm-hmm. if it gets in the way of us doing our jobs, it's not really very, it's nice technology, it's snappy and it's nice to have, but it doesn't allow us to act more effectively.
Absolutely.
And so in this case, I think the technology just facilitates things and it doesn't get in the way. Now, since we have been a beta test site for some of the things, you know, we've experienced some glitches, and
sure.
I, you know, and that's just been some of the developmental pieces. And some of the glitches that we have identified have been addressed by the company, and the third generation, which is about to come out, which is all server-based, allows much more and greater searching capabilities beyond our wildest dreams.
Wow.
And so it's because it allows, instead of just searching on a particular Landro box, it allows for searching across multiple Landro boxes, which is one of the limitations of the second generation of the technology. So what I would say to people is that it's just really very easy to learn. I think the most sophisticated thing that we have to do in terms of learning the system is how to set up the actual playbook,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it really forces us to think about very in concrete ways what are the skills that we want to see demonstrated and what are the important pieces, and not overwhelm students with so many skills, but really target that and make those connected to the learning objectives for the particular class.
Okay, so when you talk about the playbook, you're talking about the counselor responses.
What we're talking about with the playbook is all the possibilities for a particular clip to be coded.
Okay.
So basically, it's the database that's used to code a clip.
Okay.
So when a student would see this, a visual picture of this would be, I have a clip that's been identified. And so you can actually see, and that clip will continue to play on your screen. And then there's a drop-down menu just to the left of it that allows you a choice from within the database of what you want to use to code that particular session.
Okay.
So the only choices that students have available is what the faculty members have defined as important to code particular sessions.
Okay. Can you give us an example of what some of those might be?
Well, in the database, mm-hmm. we would have things like the clip focus, would that be, and then the choices might be client, counselor, group.
Okay.
Effectiveness, and then the drop-down menu would be highly effective, moderately effective. You could have conceptualization as one of the broad categories, and under that, the different theoretical orientations that students would be using.
And in a simplistic fashion for basic counseling skills, you could literally have all of the basic counseling skills identified, from paraphrasing to reflections of feelings to summarization to question for clarification. All of those things could be identified in there.
And the important thing is, I think for any departments that get this, that it would be helpful on the front end to sit down as a group to decide what are some of the key things that we want, if we want to use just one database,
okay,
or if you want to have multiple databases, how might the basic skills database then fit in to the more advanced theory database or the practicum? So they may just want to sit down to look at sort of the developmental process that their students are going through with all of their clinical courses.
Mm-hmm. And the new capability in the third generation will allow each instructor to literally create their own database. So what allows you to do if you have been reluctant to use video in other classes, or to use sort of a clinical training model in some of the other classes, you could create a database specifically for career, let's say.
Okay.
You're looking at students giving the results of an assessment or working with a client to hear the results of an assessment, then you could actually have them videotaped, and in your database you could have all the things that you thought were important to be able to identify. You could do that in a basic theory class. You could do that in an assessment class, where you now can add a clinical component to just about any class. And the new system allows each instructor then to create their own database specific to the learning objectives of their class.
Okay. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the cost of the system and ways to offset this cost? It sounds like it's a huge piece of technology, and I'm nervous that counselor educators out there might be reluctant to look at this because of concerns over cost, financial.
Right, and that is a consideration,
mm-hmm,
and the range of this new system is probably $100,000 to $250,000. For the whole system. And we found ways on campus, though, to really advocate and begin to try to get funds that would help to pay for this facility.
And we've talked to counselor educators across the country, and they've said exactly what you just said, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, this is great. We wish we could have this, but there's no way that we're going to convince our administration to do this. And what we've tried to help them see that is that really is a barrier that is sometimes imposed by us because we don't assert the fact that we really need 21st century technology to really do our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's akin to putting a typewriter on a faculty member's desk. Yes, it could do the job,
mm-hmm,
but to do it as effectively as they need to do it now, it takes a computer. And
yeah,
so we could literally put a $49 VCR in a room with some side buffer quarter, and a faculty member could do their job. But it really is not the technology that's available for them to be able to do their job in a really effective and efficient way. So what we've tried to do is begin to make the argument to administration that we're no different than biologists or people who train other professionals, that they put a tremendous amount of money into clinical training facilities. There are virtual nursing labs across the country with double the price tags,
mm-hmm,
and they are training professional staff. So what we've tried to begin to get counselor educators to do is to not apologize for the technology that they need to do their job, and then to be able to become wise in terms of where internally there are funding sources available to help them assist with acquiring the technology. In many universities, they now have what's called a technology fee because they have realized that traditional higher ed budgets didn't have line items for technology,
mm-hmm,
because 15, 20 years ago, you didn't need the sophisticated computer labs that you did. And so there are ways that faculty can access those the technology fees that are usually sometimes within universities on a competitive basis, or they're assigned to academic deans for distribution. So I think it's partly becoming assertive about the technology that we need and then beginning to look at funding sources that support similar funding for professional training programs across your university. And they're in nursing departments, they're in chemistry departments and physics departments. I know some physics departments, one of ours here locally, they ended up buying this incredibly sophisticated optic, and I'm not going to be able to actually give you the appropriate term, but it was a $150 piece of equipment for one of the classes that they were teaching in the Master's in Physics program.
$150,000,
yes, that they were using to teach in the physics program. So what we're trying to do is to get people to really search for those particular funding. And
mm-hmm,
in particular, when they're moving either to renovate a facility or they're moving for accreditation, that typically there are monies available to upgrade facilities for accreditation or to just upgrade them for technology's sake.
Right. So one of the key things would be beginning to find what are the potential sources of funding available on your campus or also in the form of grants or foundations that could help fund that. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece is to begin to find a team of people that can be your allies and advocates on campus. So you may work here. We worked with administrators, our information technology specialists, and we work together as a group because sometimes with the technology questions, we could say what our vision was, but then the technology people would need to make it happen. So when we work together and everybody was on board and supportive of this project, that opened some doors for potential funding.
Okay.
But what we've also found is that if people go to their IT specialist within their college or in their university, they unless they are aware of this technology, that they actually give them outdated answers to their questions. Because they might say, and this happened to us when we first started to do this, well, just buy video editing software and you get these computers and you can download, you can create MP3s and you can do all this editing to MP3s. And when we started to do that, and we literally did look at some of the video editing software, and it was just too complex, too cumbersome. It actually would do the job, but it would take so much of a learning curve for our students and our faculty to be able to understand the technology that would be totally useless. It would it would be expensive computers that we would really never use. So those video files that are really large and hard to manage then now become very simple and easy to manage. So what we are trying to do is educate people about this particular technology so that when they take it to their IT people, they say, oh, no, that's not what we want. We want something much more simple than that, and this is an opportunity for them to be able to utilize the technology but not have to be experts in video and editing. Because there are a lot of people across the country who are starting to do that, but it's just so complex that it really does get in the way of supervision. And we haven't found that to be true with this particular technology.
Right. And when you think about the cost, we met somebody at a conference who spent $125,000 for state-of-the-art 1970s. So they had still VCRs and nothing different than they could have got years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're talking about is new technology that really enhances what you can do in supervision and training. Mm-hmm. And it's in an easy-to-use way.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that it's very user-friendly, because I know with a lot of the students I have, they're at different levels of competency regarding technology, and I know faculty are as well, and sometimes that can be very intimidating. But what I hear you saying is that it's very user-friendly, and it can be picked up in 15 minutes with somebody teaching the basics of the Landro system.
Right, and I think faculty have a choice too. What degree do they want to integrate this into their class, and how do they want to use it? So not every faculty has to use it the same way, but yet they can tailor and really use it in the best way to help them meet the students' needs and meet the learning objectives of the class.
Yeah, and I think for faculty, the biggest struggle has been to think differently about supervision.
Okay.
And to think differently about how we access the information and what we want our students to do. Because now we can say, hey, you know what I'd like you to do for class next week is I'd like you to create several clip marks that have an example of this particular skill, and I'd like you to save them as a different file and turn those in as an assignment. Mm-hmm. So I can go and look at that. But you know, I would have never have dreamed to do that before because I couldn't even imagine how I would tell you how to use your tallies and check marks to be able to do that, to provide that information. So I think the biggest struggle for us as faculty and counselor educators as we begin to use this is we now almost have the opposite problem. We have too much information. Mm-hmm. And so how do we use that information to help achieve learning goals and make the supervision more efficient and effective? And as we have learned to utilize it, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know, now that you've got all this clipped and coded, what are we going to use for supervision? And so it forces us to think in different sorts of ways. But I also acknowledge that for some faculty, actually for our students, it's a lot easier for them to adapt to the technology. When we were bringing this technology on board, we had a couple of faculty who, quite frankly, whose computer skills were a little bit lacking, and they were very intimidated by the system.
Sure.
So there is that sort of need to help faculty understand some of the advantages, but also give them some of the training that they need. Mm-hmm. But no matter what faculty that we've explained this to across the country, they says, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. This is what we've always dreamed of. And we sit them down in front of it, and it's just amazing. And they start, you could see them starting to go with how they might be able to use it and how it might be good for their students. And it moves them away from reading transcripts. It moves them away from sitting in their office and watching the tapes mm-hmm. start to finish totally. But it doesn't, if you still want to do that, because you might be able to provide a particular rich experience with a particular client, it doesn't negate the old process.
Okay.
You want to start it from start to finish and watch it that way, you can. Mm-hmm.
So when you think maybe 10 years down the road and think about what your hopes are for this technology, what are you hoping at this university, but what about in counselor education in general? What are your hopes?
My dream would be that every counselor ed program would have this technology. Mm-hmm. And that as a profession, we would even begin to think, how can we use this and even enhance how we're using it in classes? Because there's only a few programs in the country currently that are using this, mm-hmm. but it would be nice to just collaborate with people that are using it and also find ways that everybody that wants it could get this technology.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, I think the hope is that programs in particular that train new doctoral students or new professionals mm-hmm. in the discipline, train them in what is the possibilities for the future so that they're coming out understanding this type of technology so that they can begin to think about, because they're going to be the ones on the cutting edge who are going to do the research about the effectiveness of this, and they're going to be the ones who develop the models that are a part of how we teach with this. And to me, that's the exciting part. And we don't have a doctoral program here at IUP, but I could imagine the way that this technology could be used to do doctoral instruction and courses and supervision, and how we could use this to really create top-notch supervision experiences that really, and Lorraine and I are in the process of developing a model called the Nonlinear Supervision Process Model, and we're hoping that people will see how this can augment some of the traditional models of supervision that which have been based on linear access to data. Mm-hmm. And we want people to look at this process model in a nonlinear way that you can now use nonlinear data to help supervision, whether you're using a discriminant model of supervision or whether you're using a developmental model of supervision, that all of those can be integrated. So our passion, really, and Lorraine and I share this, is to bring this as much as possible that we can out to counselor educators, because this is a journey that we hope that people will begin to take, because it has so many advantages for all of us.
Yep.
So what recommendations do you have for counselor educators who are wanting to start the process of getting a system?
Well, that's a good question. I think for me, the first part is begin to understand the technology. Find us at a conference. We'll be happy to show it to you. We actually have developed a small consulting company that we use to kind of go out and try to expose counselor educators to this model, and we're happy to showcase it to folks. The company actually does what we call webinars, and so we'd be happy to have it's sort of like a web seminar where mm-hmm. we can showcase some of the technology. The hardest part for Lorraine and I here today is to provide a visual picture for you of some of the things that... So I think the first thing to do would be to learn a little bit about the technology, understand it, and then be able to take a step back and see if your university is ready for this or if your department is ready for this, and then aggressively go after the funding.
Right, and again, work with teams at your university, and now with this new system, you can even partner with other related disciplines that might be in your building. So if you have like an ed and school psych and a counselor ed program and maybe a speech program, that you can work together, and sometimes funding is easier when you have a group
okay.
coming forward. So I think we're always available to talk to people about our mm-hmm. journey and provide any help that they might need as they begin to explore this technology.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the one wisdom that I would say to people is when they sell you, yeah, but, that's only one little roadblock. You kind of have to figure out where is the way around it. Because, quite frankly, we got some yeah, buts along the way. Yeah, but it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how are we going to do this? How are we going to get it into the classroom? And there are, if you are functioning in good teams, you'll be able to find some of the answers to that. And it's not as difficult to find some of that money. And to be able to really empower yourself to look at this as a possibility for your programs.
Okay. How can listeners go about getting more information? If listeners want to contact you or have specific questions for you, is there a way that they can gain that information? Maybe a website or?
Yes, they can contact us here at IUP mm-hmm. if they wanted to. And
we're in the process of rolling out a website for our consulting company, and mm-hmm. its web address will be www.journeyconsultants.com. And we hope that just shortly after the Christmas holidays that that'll be up and active. And our idea with that whole process is to really begin to expose faculty to the possibilities, but also to provide resources for them mm-hmm. To help them literally along the same journey that we have taken. So there'll be some places there where we can help with budget analysis. There'll be some ideas for grant templates for internal and external grants. There'll be some opportunities and some PowerPoints where they can literally download a PowerPoint that they want to show to their administration. So there'll be a lot of resources out there for them. And we also hope that if they need some help with the database construction, that Lorraine and I are willing to go out and help them construct literally their playbook, because we believe that that's one of the most important educational tasks,
okay.
is thinking about that whole process. But yeah, Lorraine and I are available to help in whatever way we can.
Yep, and we just find this to be a very exciting time for mm-hmm. our discipline, and we're eager to help get whatever information people would need to help them on their personal journey.
Great. Is there anything we haven't touched on today that you think would be important for listeners to know? Anything you can think of?
Well, just one other tip would be take this process one step at a time. Mm-hmm. I know when we were going through it, there were times that I felt very overwhelmed, and Claire was like, no, we can do this. And so to just take it, you know, one step at a time, and we even have some steps we can share with people on how you might go about doing this in a way that is doable and that you can make your vision a reality.
Great.
Yeah, I don't think I have really much to add other than you don't have to be a technology guru to do this.
Okay.
I think a lot of times with technology, people who know a little bit get scared and they're like, oh, this really sounds nice, but I could never do this. I don't consider myself to be anywhere near technology savvy, but I can run the system. And I mean, no disrespect to football coaches, but if football coaches can do it, I can't think of any counselor educator across the country who couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, to me, it's to think about the possibilities and allow yourself to think about journeying to those possibilities, because it's amazing when you can do supervision in this way. I can't tell you how different my experience with my supervisees are because I use this technology.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I want to thank you both for your time today and the information that you shared.
Thank you for talking with us.
You've just heard an interview of Dr. Claire Dandenu and Dr. Lorraine Goose by contributing editor Dr. Kimberly Desmond, speaking about new digital recording technology for supervision. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.